Now, you know, this is a day of audio-visual presentations. It's a good job I haven't false teeth or I wouldn't have been able to say that. Now, talk about all these audio-visual presentations of all kinds of things today. Used to be in my day, it was a blackboard and chalk, and that was it. If they're going to do a talk, maybe in school on something special, or maybe the police are going round to tell the children in the school something, and have audio-visual presentations, or in business they get all their workers together and give them audio-visual presentations. Well, I'm going to give you a very simple audio-visual presentation tonight. Is that all right, you young people? I don't know what age you are, he never told me. So, some of you are married, but that doesn't mean the same what age you are. Now, I've got a few things in this bag here, if I can get them out, because I put things in bags. The wife, she threatens to throw everything out. She said to me after these children's days over, "We're going into that garage," she says, "and I'm going to throw a lot of stuff out." She says, "You're always hoarding stuff." She says, "You remember." She says, "That's why you're still here, because I hoard stuff." <laughs> 43 years last Sunday. I don't look 43, I know that, but 43 years, and the minister said to me, "Will you take this woman?" Well, what else could I do than close the door and her people are all sitting behind me? So, I want you to look at these figures. I'd better watch myself with these very clever boys that are about. Like the Reverend Martin and all these people that I see, all clever people. And that's 22. Two little ducks, as the bingo people would say, but 22. 24. You read that all right, Stuart. Good man. Don't need glasses. And 26. Okay? Now you say, what's he talking about? He must be planning. Well, the heat must be getting to him. No. 22. What does that bring to your mind? 24, 26. Well, there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Isn't that right, brother? Did you learn Hebrew, brother? Yeah, it's all double Dutch to some of us, but 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. That's why you have the 22 sections in the Psalm 119. Well, sure, your mother, senior minister and your minister has told you that. And look above it and you'll see the wee letter, or the wee words explaining the letter. And then, of course, in the Greek alphabet, there's 22 letters, or 24 letters. And then, sorry, shows you how it's all Greek to me. I had to learn Greek, but. And 26, well, you all know what that is. You all had to learn that, didn't you? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, right down to X, Y, as we call it Z, and the Americans call it Z. X, Y, Z, it's 26. Now, the Romans, they of course gave value to letters, and you see them on the clocks, of course, and you see I, which is 1, and then V, which is 5, and L, 50, and C, 100, and D, 500, and M for 1,000. So you have all those letters. But if I said to you again, 24, what letter would I be talking about? Okay, well, here's what I'm talking about. X. Now, you think of X. Now, what would that remind us of? X, of course, in the Roman, it was 10. And 10 reminds us of the law. God's perfect law. That law that he gave to Moses to give to the children of Israel. That wonderful law would control their lives and control their society. And that law that each one was responsible to God before, that law. The Ten Commandments, you know, starts off, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Do not make any graven image. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. You remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And then he comes on to our neighbor, the father and mother, to honor them. Not to kill, not to steal, not to commit adultery, not to bear false witness, not to covet. Now there's not a one of us can measure up to that law with all its ramifications. You know, Saul of Tarsus thought that he could somehow fulfill God's law. But when God spoke to him, he showed him that he was a sinner who had sinned and come short of God's glory. And he was a breaker of the law. And he found out that the law was his schoolmaster to bring him to Christ. How did he do it? He taught him that by the law shall no flesh be justified, because you couldn't keep it perfectly. Only one kept it, and that's the Savior. Only he. And he died, the sinless one, upon the cross for those of us who are sinners indeed. Now, of course, got another X. You go into the hospital. I'm sure you've all been to the hospital, either in it or visiting in it. You go to the hospital and you see all the departments, but you know one that's most frequented of all? The X-ray department. It's going ding dust. There was a young lady got married and she came up our country. She was a radiographer and she thought she was coming to a kind of a country hospital. And she was on call. She thought, oh, that's not so bad. But it was busy enough for her own work. But then she was on call. She said, oh, I'll go home and get my dinner. She wasn't right home till the buzzer went. No dinner. Back again. I'll go home after this. Oh, then the buzzer went again. Back again. I don't think she got any dinner hardly that night at all. In the X-ray department. Very important department. Because the X-ray can show up what the eye cannot see. It can get beyond the outside and look right down. There's these great scanners today and ultrasounds and all the rest of it that can go right beyond the outside. And maybe people look okay on the outside. And you say, oh, that person there, I think there's nothing wrong with her. I think she's just putting it on, you know. I think he's just putting it on. But the X-ray shows it up. There's something wrong. And God has X-ray eyes that look beyond the outward appearance. When I was a young preacher, I was away, well, my early mission. I was out on my first lot of missions way back about 1954. We went to a place called Scone, where the stone of Scone comes from. It's outside Perth. I joined up with my other companions in the quartet. I came out of college and joined these senior men. We then moved our tent over to that beautiful city of Perth. And we missioned for 4 weeks. And we saw precious souls saved. On the last Sunday, we took a church hall, big church hall, which was packed. You know, often people come to say bye-bye at the end of a mission, but there'd been good crowds, and they came, and the senior man had said to me, Gordon, you'll finish the mission. I tried to get out of it, but he said, no, you'll preach the last message. So I preached the message in fear and trembling. And afterwards, many responded to the appeal. And we were dealing with souls inquiring after salvation. And after I dealt with some folks, I saw two elderly ladies sitting over here, and I walked over and I said, how are you? It's nice of you to stay behind. You've said tonight to say goodbye. Oh, no. No, we haven't stayed to say goodbye. I said, you haven't? No, we have stayed to get saved. I said, you what? I said, we have stayed to get saved. He says, but we thought that you were Christians. You look to us like Christian people. You've been at these meetings every night. You haven't missed a night. And there you are. You're not saved. No, not saved. But we want to get saved. See, we saw with the eye, but God had seen to the heart. And he had shown them that they were lost sinners. And I got open God's book, and we got down before God, and these two ladies got saved. And when I looked up, well, it was as if somebody had switched on a light inside that was beaming from their faces. And I said, are you sure you're saved now? Oh, dead sure. This lady said to me, do you know what age I am, Brother Cook? I said, no. She says, I'm 82. The other lady says, yes. She says, I'm 81. The x-ray of God showed up the sin. My, tonight, friend, maybe people look at you and say, maybe you're all right, but you're not. You're not. Because another axe, when I went to school, I got a lot of these. Got a lot of them. More than the tick. Well, I left school at more tick than axes, but the tick, you see, the teacher would come along and examine and say, wrong. Put a big axe. Not very nice, sure it's not, because it is wrong. Wrong. You know, we're wrong in sin. We're wrong. As far as God's concerned, you're all wrong, friend. It doesn't matter how smart you are, how educated you are, how dull you are, how uneducated you are. You're wrong. It's another word for sin when we talk about God. And some people are wrong in the way that they think they can be saved and accepted with God, because the first two born in this world, Cain and Abel, came before God, and Cain came and he presented beautiful fruits of the earth on the altar of God. He said, there you are, God, for the sweat of my brow, look what I have brought. And God said, wrong. Put a big axe. You're wrong. You're not accepted with me. You're not saved. His brother brought a lamb of the flock and slew it and shed its blood. And he said, God, here's my substitute. God said, right. He was righteous, Abel. The righteousness of God in salvation. Then, of course, here's one here. This, you get cards or letters, and we ask for love. Right? You want to say, I love you, you put the X. And the great X right across the message of the gospel is the X of God's love. He has kissed the very pages of Scripture with his love. the love that took the Savior all the way to Calvary. And there he poured out his soul unto death and shed the precious blood of our redemption. That's love. You say to me, explain God's love. Oh, I can't explain it. But I can show you the demonstration of it. If you'll come to the old hill crag of Golgotha, and you'll climb with me up to its summit, and I'll show you a man on a middle cross. He's God's Son. And God's saying, here's my love for sinners. The extremity of that love was to bruise his Son. Do you think of that, friend? It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Who for? Sinners like you and myself. Because remember that X speaks to us of a cross. Now, I don't know what shape really the cross was. We can argue to we're blue in the face whether it was this shape or that shape or that shape. But this symbol reminds us of a cross. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many a man died on a cross. There were two men died on crosses beside the Savior. But they were poor, benighted sinners. And one kept scoffing Christ and rejecting him and was lost. And the other said, Lord, remember me. And thou comest into thy kingdom. And he saved them at the cross. There's an old hymn that used to be sung and quoted very often. Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. You've been to the cross in your heart. And this other cross, you know, when you want to cancel something out, you put a big cross. Oh, no. We'll cut that out. We'll cancel that out. You know? And the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary. What for? To cancel our sin. He cancelled all my transgressions. Put a big X over them. He appeared to put away sin. And I looked up that word, knew what it means. To cancel sin. Cancel sin. Can you say, I know my sins are cancelled. I've been to Calvary. I've washed by faith in the blood. And I am trusting Christ alone. Horse X also means choice. You know, you see, you want to choose this or that, put the X in the box. The choice. Pontius Pilate was faced with a solemn choice. When they brought the beloved Savior into his presence, he came in, Pilate shunted him off to Herod. Wherever he could shunt him off, he would have done it. But at the end of the day, it came back to himself. And he asked himself the question, as well as the crowd, what shall I do then with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? He's the only hope for heaven. The only hope of being saved from a Christless hell in the last eternity. And don't tell me, dear friend, don't sit and say in your heart as if you were telling me, preacher, don't talk like that. It's okay, I'm only young. We're out of time before me. Remember, just a few weeks ago, we had a tragedy in Enniskillen. One of the bright young stars of the church left for work, but she came home in her coffin. And we followed her coffin from that church. A week later, we were to follow her down the aisle with her beautiful bride's garment upon her. But instead of that, when I went up to her room, the coffin was sitting here, and the bride's dress was hanging on the wall. Not long after that, we got word that a little boy of our Sunday school in one of our other churches, 8-year-old, was struck down, and inside a couple of weeks was into God's eternity. Don't tell me you're going to put off the choice. Choose you this day. You see, X also is the symbol of the kiss. Isn't it? The symbol of a kiss. You know, when I went up the airport one day and I was waiting for Dr. Ken Connolly to arrive, and these people were, some of them coming, some of them going, and people would be going away and people would be going, putting their arms around them and kissing them. They were kissing them goodbye. Others were waiting with eager faces. And the crowd would come down the corridor and they would run and put their arms and give them the kiss of welcome. Two young ladies stood with their mother-in-law one day in the land of Moab. And the backslider, Naomi, said, "I'm going home. I'm going back to my people. I'm going back to my God. I'm going home." And the two young ladies stood there, and Orpah lifted up her voice, and she wept, and she wept. She threw her arms around her mother-in-law, and she kissed her, but she kissed her goodbye. She kissed her goodbye. Went back to her old life of sin. A lost soul. You remember what Judas did? He kissed the door of heaven and eventually went through the door of hell. But you know, you can kiss the Savior and welcome. Kiss the Son, lest to be angry with thee and thou perish from the way. But kiss him and welcome. Say, "Welcome, Lord Jesus, of a poor old, guilty, lost, hell-deserving sinner. Can't do a thing for myself, but you died for me at Calvary. And I'm a repentant sinner. I'm sorry for my sin, Lord. Come into my heart." Kiss him with welcome. You know, X is the unknown quantity. We had to learn algebra when I went to school, which I hated it. And they started this with this X, the unknown quantity. And you know, perhaps to you tonight, dear friend, the Lord Jesus is the unknown quantity. Yes, you don't know. If I went to you and said, "Do you know the Lord Jesus?" you'd have to say, "No, I don't know. I never met him in my heart." Well, why not come to him tonight? "For this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." And of course, this X here, in those terms of algebra, X is really the embodiment of the answer. You start with X. You put it at the start of the equation. and you say X equals everything else. Christ is the answer to your sin. Christ is the answer to death. And Christ is the answer to eternity. But have you put Him into the equation of your life, your sin, the prospect of possibility and eventually reality of your death, and your eternity? Yes, friend, the Lord Jesus is the answer. God sent Him into this world to be the answer to your sin and mine. You know, at Christmas, people shorten the Christmas to Xmas, and man said to me, I don't like that. Well, I looked at it, and of course, where did it come from, really? And I better watch the Greek scholars here, but Christos, ho Christos, the Christ. The first letter, the Christ. God sent His Christ into the world, His Son, to be the Savior of sinners. And He can save to the uttermost. I was reading books by G.F. Dempster. Whenever you get them, read them. Touched by a Loving Hand, The Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go, Lovest Thou Me, Finding Men for Christ. He was a minister in London, and he used to go to find lost men and women and young girls and young fellows. And people used to write them, say, my son hasn't been home, I've heard nothing. Our father hasn't been home, or the daughter has disappeared into thin air. And he would go down into the hell holes of London, where young men and women and older ones too had been caught in the traps of sin. And many a time he was beaten up and hammered and thrown about the streets of London. But oh, the marvellous stories of how he found men and women and young people for Christ. And he told them the story of the love of God in Christ. And by that love they were drawn to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Have you been to the cross? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? And you can say He is my answer, if you haven't come to Him tonight.